and welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Tuesday. Today is the 8th of May, and I'm not Bill Buckmaster. I'm Shelley Fishman, sitting in for Bill, who is on vacation with his lovely bride, Anne, who is, both of them together, 40 years of marriage, and they're off enjoying that somewhere in, I think, New Mexico. Anyway, today we're coming to you, as always, on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and simulcasting on KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. You can hear the program anytime at buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com. So we're kind of ubiquitous. You can't miss the fact that we are on the web. I would like to thank support for the Buckmaster Show because it comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Well, yesterday when I was sitting in for Bill, we did our usual debate between the Democrats and the Republicans. We kept it to national and in some cases international issues. Today we're going to focus in on Tucson. I am really, really very pleased to have here in the studio both Debbie Chandler, the newly appointed economic development manager in the city manager's office, and Maricela Solis, and your exact title again.
I'm the business advocate for Mayor Rothschild.
Right. We were using other words when we looked at appointing this position. You know, the business, not advocate, it was...
Ombudsman,
that's it. And then nobody knew what ombudsman was. So we've got the perspectives here from both major departments of the city government, both the city manager's office and also the mayor's office. And unlike yesterday, when we really didn't have time to invite callers, today I would like you to call in if you have questions, have comments, or have a comment that you might feel could be useful or constructive as these two very capable managers get on with their jobs. The number here, the live Buckmaster line number, 790-2040. We welcome your calls. Let me start with you, Debbie, because you are brand new. You found your way to City Hall, and you've been on the job, what, a week and a half?
About a week and a half, okay. Yes. Happy to have found my way to City Hall.
So what do you do for a living?
Well, I'm, as you said, the newly appointed economic development manager for the city, and this position was a new position. The city hasn't had this position for about 7 years. So it came out of a need to really coordinate the efforts in the city toward economic development, not only what the city does, but all of the pieces that come together and the players such as TRIO, all of the organizations working together to make things happen in Tucson.
Right. Now, you're no stranger to the city, and you're no stranger to business in this city. Why don't you tell the audience what you did in your just immediate former life and how those things really do kind of mesh together?
Sure. Well, the past 6 years, I was the executive director of the Microbusiness Advancement Center, whose main mission is to create jobs, work with small businesses to create jobs, place capital with businesses, help them grow and expand, and to start companies as well as expand companies. So it's a similar focus. It's just I was working with small businesses locally. We did maybe 60% of what we did was a focus on startup, but we also focused on expansion. So I'm taking that just to a whole new level. Now we're going to do that within the whole city of Tucson and looking at three major focuses, retention, expansion, and attraction of new companies into Tucson.
Great. That's cool. That's really very important stuff. Maricela, let's see. You've been in the job actually since Inauguration Day.
Yes, December 5th. We are at day 156, I believe.
Okay. Now, there's a 180-day plan.
Yes.
From the mayor's office. And so no interview with Maricela Solis would be complete, or for that matter, with Jonathan, would be complete without a 180-day plan update.
Yes, and so we are quickly approaching the 180-day end of our plan, and I'm very excited to report that we've made tremendous progress, particularly around jobs and economic development, which is my area of focus. Land use code is well on its way for a final review that will come at the end of the summer for us. And so at the 180-day mark, there are some key articles that will be brought before mayor and council for their consideration to pass, which is huge. Then we've got the, of course, attraction and expansion and retention focus, which we've been working on closely with not only TRIO, but just, I think, you know, when site selectors are looking at municipalities, it's natural that they want to call the mayor's office. And so we've had a lot of interaction with companies that are interested in moving to Tucson and just sort of shopping our community. So that's been really successful. I've also dealt with, at this point, I'm well over 80 businesses that have contacted me for a variety of reasons and have been able to work with city staff to help mitigate some of those issues and get them well on their way to prosperity. So it's been really helpful and productive to work with city staff.
So one of your major job functions is really kind of fire person. That put out fires, understand what the problems are. I mean, we've been hearing for, oh gosh, years that Tucson is not a very business-friendly city, that it's hard to do business in Tucson. And, you know, you're the fix-it person for that, right?
I know. I want to start to hear a different story. I want to start to hear stories that, you know, I had an issue and I had a person to call and it was resolved and we were able to move forward. And so that's the story I want Tucsonans to start to tell. And hopefully through my position, through Debbie's position, we are going to be able to change some of that rhetoric so that it becomes a more positive experience to work within the city and work within, you know, the city of Tucson.
Okay. So if I were a caller, I'm calling on 790-2040. My question would be, gosh, why do we need two of you? What's the difference between what you will be doing? And I'm going to first throw that to you, Debbie.
Well, I was going to say earlier, I want to put out there, we work extremely closely together. From the city manager's office, I have three things I'm really focused on right now. And it's one that the mayor's office supports as well. Number one, job creation. We want to create jobs in Tucson. So the mayor's office does lots of things, but that's my main focus. Number one, job creation. And the second thing I'm focusing on is what you just spoke to Maricela about, and that is the city manager wants me to create an economic development attitude within our city such that when our new businesses show up or our existing businesses show up to do business with the city in any way, shape, or form, we are embracing them as components of our economic development and working towards solutions all the time to start to eliminate what she was speaking about a minute ago, that we have less and less problems because we're embracing that attitude of economic development within everything that we do in the city. So that's a big charge, but I'm excited about that because I think that will start to change those perceptions that we currently have been battling.
What's your instinct? Are there some very specific problems you could set about very specifically solving, or is this more amorphous?
My instinct is it's a little bit of a culture, and you know I'm really just speaking out of the top of my head right now because I've only been there a week and a half. But I'm speculating it's a little bit of a culture, and perhaps primarily because there hasn't been a point of contact to drive that mission. And sometimes that's all we need is a focus on something to make it happen. And that's what I'm happy to do is let's focus on that subject of economic development and make it a very positive effect in everything we do in the city. I think it's very achievable. I think it's very achievable.
Well, isn't that what we're paying Mr. Snell to do at TRIO?
I don't know that he's focused on the city workers so much, but He's working on development, but I'm talking about creating this within the city department so that when businesses approach us, it's a very positive experience.
Right. So let me just address the TRIO issue. Okay. So as a region, we came together 7 years ago and decided to form an economic opportunity organization. And they have carved out a very focused mission around aerospace and defense and recruitment of high-tech and high-wage jobs. It's not that different from what every municipality wants across
right.
the country.
Right.
You know, those are the hot jobs right now. And so their approach and their focus is narrow, and it's focused around helping the region. So there is a space for that kind of effort. And then there is also a space that within the municipality to take charge of our own businesses, existing businesses that are outside of the scope of a TRIO, for example. Every municipality, Oro Valley, Sahuarita, even the Pima County, they have their own economic development point person, if you will. The city was void of that for about 7 years. And so our job is to not only coordinate and collaborate with TRIO and with other municipalities, but it's also to work with our local businesses that are existing, that are in the middle of wanting to grow their businesses, thinking about moving their business into another location. Or, quite frankly, we have some good partners out in the community that just call us and they say, you know what, I heard that there's a business that's interested in coming to Tucson, so I want to make sure that the city of Tucson presents itself first.
Okay.
And my department, by the way, will be the number one point of contact for that kind of thing.
For the city?
For the region.
For the region?
No, for the city.
Well, for the city.
Sorry, meaning the city. City of Tucson. Sorry.
Okay. So how do you work with the county when we know that especially for a new firm, an outside firm coming in, they might not draw those lines intuitively quite that that well?
Right. And so the mayor has said clearly to TRIO and to our partners, he meets with the other municipality mayors and leaders frequently, and he has said, you know, we're all for our own region. We get that. You know, you're going to be for Oro Valley right. and Sahuarita. But the reality is that the tide raises all ships. So if I can be helpful as in a regional approach, and it matters to the client that they meet the mayor of Tucson, he says, of course I'm going to show up and be supportive. I understand that, you know, for whatever reason, sometimes that's important, and there is a ceremonial piece to that
sure.
I am happy to participate in. And so he says, but, you know, if I have to go up to bat and I'm going to promote the city of Tucson, that is my job. I'm the leader of the city of Tucson, and I want to promote the city of Tucson.
Right. Well, I'm here with Maricela Solis, who in the mayor's office is charged with being kind of the sponsor for economic development, and also with Debbie Chandler, who a week and a half ago took over the new job of economic development manager. And we're talking about making Tucson a better place to do business, making the whole region more economically viable and economically prosperous. And that's an important subject. And this is a great time to take a break. And we will be back in about 3 minutes, and we will continue this very important discussion.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
One of Broadway's biggest hits is on tour and coming soon. Disney and Cameron McIntosh's Mary Poppins, live on stage. Variety raves, Mary Poppins is the rare touring production that over-delivers at every level. And now is your chance to experience it.
Disney's Mary Poppins, May 16th through the 20th at the Tucson Music Hall. Tickets start at $29. Purchase tickets at BroadwayInTucson.com or call 1-800-745-3000.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
And we're back live. This is the Bill Buckmaster Show. This is Shelley Fishman sitting in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster and surrounded by two very, very capable and I think challenged, I'm going to say, women. I say challenged because their job is very challenging. Both of them together working for the mayor's office and the city manager's office are charged with making this city work economically. That's a huge responsibility, Debbie Chandler in the city manager's office and Maricela Solis in the mayor's office. Okay. No, I should say we welcome your calls at 790-2040. If you're stuck in traffic downtown because you can't get downtown because of the trolley or the streetcar.
That is not true, Shelley.
No, it's not.
You can get downtown.
You know, we want calls, so I'm going to just stir the pot a little bit. What's going on with that construction?
Well, there's a little thing called the streetcar.
Yeah.
And it is finally here. I'm very excited to say that we've broke ground. We're a month into the project in terms of the actual digging and construction piece of this. And I think we're going through a little bit of a paradigm shift, I'll be honest. I think the fact that, you know, we have closed off access to Congress, which I don't think has ever happened in this community. Maybe when they went from cars from horses to cars. I don't know. But we've closed off access to Congress, but there's still, you can still drive in downtown. You can still go and eat downtown and shop downtown and go to all the shows that happen in downtown. So please, please don't forget about the businesses down there.
So why do we need this silly trolley? Come on.
The silly trolley. Shelley, it's not a trolley. It's
a
modern streetcar. It's rather fancy.
Okay.
And so we need this because several years ago when the RTA was born, the voters approved a measure that included, aside from the street improvements and expansions, they approved the streetcar. And I think what happened at that time, and it still continues to happen now, is that there is a paradigm shift happening in our community. And we're seeing it all across the country. The next generation, as I like to say, is not thinking in the same way that we are. They are okay with walkable communities. They are okay with not owning a car. And they look to public transportation as a way for them to live and get around and create a lifestyle. And okay. So that's part of the whole.
So if all we're going to do is move U of A students from the, you know, the architectural building to their dorms, then I'm going to agree with the people who are pounding on the idea that this is a silly streetcar. Is there other business? I mean, what's going to happen? Look, I've been in Denver, then the streetcar downtown has radically changed the entire downtown. I've been in Portland, radically changed. Been in Seattle, it's radically changed. Are we going to get some of that kind of other development that comes along with those tracks?
Absolutely.
Yes. I think the last study that I saw said that once the streetcar is up and running and operational, that they estimate that there's going to be an additional $120 million worth of investment in that area. And I think that's what we have to think through, is that this is planning for the next generation and planning for the next community and who we are about to become. And we can't be afraid of that. We cannot just hang on to, you know, we've always done it this way. We've never had this. I can't believe that this is actually happening in our community. I may never in my lifetime see the full effects of the streetcar, and that's okay. But I want to know that for my son, that there will be an opportunity for him to walk and bike and live and raise a family in a community that not only blends the need to care for the environment, but also provide the needs or meet the needs of a new family.
So, Debbie, I mean, part of your job has to be keyed into the fact that we are going to have this modern streetcar, that there is going to be a corridor where economic development, where shops, where restaurants, where you know, clothing stores, where there are people walking and spending money. How do you attract people to that?
Well, let me just say part of what I've been doing in the first week is meeting endlessly with people, reviewing all of the projects around and about to happen. And I'm here to tell you, it's amazing and exciting. And the community doesn't see all that's about to occur. They just see the construction downtown right now in terms of the street. There are...
Well, how can you see when there's a 14-story building blocking the sun?
There are so many
exciting... You did not just say that out loud, Shelley. Oh.
But for instance...
Sure, I did.
For instance, there's certainly some multi-unit housing going downtown that's going to attract people downtown. And as soon as you attract people to live downtown, the streetcar becomes essential.
Well, that kind of concentration of people is going to bring business. It's going to bring a lot of dollars to the city.
And it's going to bring mentioned, more development, private development all around the streetcar. That's what's going to be really amazing. Once we get the streetcar and the streets done, the private development that will occur around all of this will be phenomenal. And it's going to be a very vibrant city in not too many years.
Okay, so we've got several things going on. We've got retail. We've got small business that is going to need to be moving into that corridor. Let's talk for a few minutes about the other thing that kind of makes a city economy vibrant, and that's major business, factories, manufacturing, headquarters, or at least regional headquarters, where you get middle managers into an area. They stay here, they raise their kids here, they get involved in politics here. What about that aspect of your jobs?
So when site selectors are looking to or are hired to find another location for their client, they typically look for the mayor's office. And so right now we're getting a big mix of shopping going on in terms of other companies wanting, you know, they're just shopping for the region and they're trying to figure out if Tucson is the right place for them.
Anything you can talk to specifically or is it all?
No, it's all confidential.
Okay.
And so, but I can tell you that there's movement happening where companies are starting to wake up a little bit and say, okay, I think it's time for me to grow or expand or think about moving my current location to the city of Tucson. So that's really exciting. Exciting to see. And as we talk with these folks and meet with them, one of the things that they ask about is what's the lifestyle here? And so to be able to say, we have a vibrant university, we have this great lifestyle that includes walkable communities, we have the streetcar, we have downtown, and we've got space. We've also got this beautiful surrounding space, and we've got talent in this community, makes us very attractive for them to put us in
okay.
consideration.
So since I'm picking at scabs, you know, wouldn't it be better if we had some real decent hotel space downtown?
You know, more than hotel space, let me just talk to you about what moves an economy.
Okay.
So it's about incentives. And the state of Arizona does not have the same quality incentives that a state like Louisiana has. So if I'm a site selector and I'm looking to move a company, a headquarter or a regional office, I'm looking for what incentives currently exist in that community. And we have some limited incentives through the state, and we have some limited incentives through the city.
What I'm going to ask you to do is just hold that thought. We're going to talk about hotels. We're going to talk about incentives. When we come back, I'm going to continue to say things that people just don't say in public, probably because I'm dealing with the two best experts we could to deal with those subjects. So just remind you that I'm here with Debbie Chandler and Maricela Solis. This is the Bill Buckmaster Show. This is Shelley Fishman filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. Thanks for listening, and please write down this number, 790-2040. We'd love to take your comments and questions.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Police have filed kidnapping charges against the wife of a man who's suspected of killing a Tennessee woman and her oldest daughter and kidnapping the woman's other two daughters. Which candidate is old school? According to Mitt Romney, it's President Obama, who he says wants to return America to what Romney calls old school liberal policies of the past. The government says that gasoline should be cheaper this summer than previously expected, thanks to a drop in the price of oil. Oil prices down again today, about 97 cents. Travelers apparently will not be seeing any big changes in security measures at airports, despite the foiled Al-Qaeda bomb plot. On Wall Street, the Dow is off 77 points, and NASDAQ down 9. More details at srnnews.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTrans, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
And we're back. This is Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. And today on the Buckmaster Show, we've got Debbie Chandler and Marisol Solis. We're talking about development and economic prosperity here in the city of Tucson. I should say that this portion of the Buckmaster Show is made possible by the support of Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. Adobe House Antiques, located at the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques at 325-9439. One of our successful businesses here in Tucson. We need more. And so the question always then becomes, what is standing in the way of us and success? Debbie.
What's standing in the way of us and success?
Yeah.
That's a really big question. I'm going to take that this way. I actually think that my position was one of the things that was needed to pull together one of the things that was missing to make the success happen. And I know you asked early in the show, aren't we duplicating? But we really aren't. If you look at what the work that we do regionally for development, that's TRIO's role, and my department's actually contracts and manages the contract that the city has with TRIO, but there's been a missing link from the city. It's the city that comes forth with incentives. TRIO can't do our city incentives.
Right,
that's
right.
Us. Okay, and so I think it's a missing
piece.
What
do you mean by incentives? I mean, isn't there sufficient capital available and sufficient opportunities available to want to invest in this city, or do we need to find ways of promoting that?
We compete. We compete with other cities. We compete with other municipalities.
Well,
and
sure.
Businesses are looking for the best opportunities. So those incentives can become very important. And one of the things I think we need to do is, first of all, make sure that they're the right incentives. They're gathered together properly. They're presented properly. And you couple that with all of the wonderful things that Maricela said earlier about Tucson and what it brings to people moving here, the quality of life, the arts, the downtown, the vibrancy, the weather, everything that we have going for us. You hope that you can put together a very attractive package that includes incentives that makes us be the choice.
Okay, so if I'm an investor and I'm investing big capital bucks in something, let's say a hotel or let's say an office building or something that is needed in the city of Tucson, and let's focus on downtown for a second. And I know all of the craziness that's gone on in this city over the past, not just 3 or 4 years with Rio Nuevo, but over as long as I've lived here for 25 years. Why would I risk my capital on developing something when there doesn't seem to be kind of the atmosphere of growth and development and the desire to want to make this happen?
Shelley, that's changing.
Good.
Very rapidly.
Finally.
As we sit here and speak. And, you know, I'm going to tell you just a little side story real quickly.
Okay.
The construction downtown, everybody's like, oh, my gosh, the construction downtown, can't go. Think about this for a second. You never spend money downtown when you're driving down Congress. You spend money downtown when you park your car. There are more parking spaces downtown than there have ever been. The access into downtown, just don't take Congress. There's plenty of other ways to get there. Park your car. Spend your money. I've been downtown every day for the past 2 weeks. We have this slogan that someone of our partners in the city came up with. I just love it. Shop the orange. So I've been shopping the orange. That's the construction zone. Walk in those restaurants. They're full. Yep. Walk in some of those coffee shops. They're full. I mean, things are really happening. There's a change going on.
How do we get that word out? How do you find people with money, wallets, money falling out of their pockets to invest in the stuff that we need to invest in if we're going to take that next step?
I want to find the money line too. Where is it?
It's there. There's money there. I mean,
there
other
is money there.
Have found
I will
that money.
Right. I will say this about what we have experienced, and you know, I've been working for the mayor now for about 156 days. And one of the things that I've noticed is that slowly developers are starting to revisit and dust off plans.
Yep.
You have to remember, too, that when the recession hit, everything froze. Credit lines were frozen. Everybody took the projects and put them back on the shelf and have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. What I have started to see is that some of those plans are coming off the shelf, and they're starting to look for partners and investors and financing. Financing is still tough out there, I'll say, particularly with very large projects. The credit lines are just not where they used to be. And I think that's the new reality, is that people have to sort of shrink the economy to where it is right now and work within those constraints that exist and then build out from there. And it's going to take us some time. It's really going to take us some time. And I am just as impatient as the next Tucsonan and would like to say, you know, we've been at this for 20 years, but we missed many opportunities. And now there is this change in the air where people are starting to say, we could have, would have, should have. And now we need to.
Is it up to the city to pick winners and losers, or is it up to the private sector to simply put things on the table?
It's up to the private sector to work with the city to put things on the table and to create this vision for downtown. And not just for downtown, but for our city as a whole. And I think that, you know, we always focus on downtown because of all the everything that's been going on in the city center. But the reality is that as the largest municipality in the area, we would like for the developers to come to us and help us build this region together. We have very clear boundaries and limitations through the elected office. And Debbie has clear boundaries and limitations through the operational side of the office. But the developers and the private sector are needed. We need the private sector to step forward and help us build the Tucson that will be left for the next generation. And we need to start thinking about the next generation and stop thinking about what's good for me in this moment.
Okay, I got it. I think that's an interesting message. I wish you both the best of luck in your jobs, not just luck, success. We need success. We can be the city that we have been for the past 40 or 50 years, or we can be the city that we want to be. And it's, you know, it's on your shoulders, guys.
Thanks, Ellie.
Thank you. We're on it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. We're going to take a break. We'll be back, and we're going to move from Tucson to Europe.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
One of Broadway's biggest hits is on tour and coming soon. Disney and Cameron Mackintosh's Mary Poppins, live on stage. Variety raves Mary Poppins is the rare touring production that over-delivers at every level. And now is your chance to experience it.
Disney's Mary Poppins, May 16th through the 20th at the Tucson Music Hall. Tickets start at $29. Purchase tickets at BroadwayInTucson.com or call 1-800-745-3000.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy.
So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, we're back. This is Shelley Fishman, and this is the Bill Buckmaster Show, and it is Tuesday. And on Tuesdays, Bill Buckmaster has this guy, Shelley Fishman, that would be me, talking about economics and finance and investing. And Bill always likes to joke about the Shelley Fishman Smile Index. No smiles today, no smiles last week either. We've had another bad day or having another bad day on the market. And we've talked about this. We've talked about the fact that the markets were a little bit overheated. This is a pullback. I'm not worried about it, but it's something that we could probably have expected. Some of it is caused by uncertainty again about what's going on in Europe. And what I'd like to do is just talk a little bit about something that we touched on yesterday with Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. And Bruce expressed his concern at the time about the elections that happened over the weekend in Europe and the change in government. You know, I agree with Bruce that Americans should be concerned about what happens in Europe. They are, after all, our largest trading partner. My main reason for being concerned may be a little bit different from Bruce's, however. I think his are focused mainly on sovereign debt and the ability of states in Europe to meet their debt obligations. Mine focus a little differently. Let me make several points. And I'd like this to be a dialogue. If anybody out there who I didn't allow in yesterday to call in would like to call, it's 790-2040. We've allowed this time for a dialogue. You know, major European economies are very similar to ours. I know it doesn't always seem that way, but they really are. The differences are minor. The economies in Spain and Greece and Portugal are relatively young democracies, and they have some important differences. But even there, they suffer from many of the same pressures as their larger neighbors, notably aging populations and hard-to-control immigration. For the major European economic giants, however, and their immediate neighbors in Northern Europe, it's hard to tell the difference, really, between their economies and ours. It's been clear for about a decade that Europeans would need to fix the imbalance between government spending and tax revenues. That gap is something that we're addressing here in the United States, or hopefully will address in this election, but the Europeans need to address it as well. They imposed, most of the countries in Europe imposed value-added taxes on consumer spending, and that was designed to help plug that gap. And of course, in a recession, consumer spending does slow down, and that made ultimately the imbalance even worse. In fact, you could argue that the fix was more of a problem than the solution when the economies began to get into big trouble in 2008 and 2009. The obvious solution, at least from the German preference perspective, in the short term, was to implement austerity measures aimed at reducing government's obligations under their entitlement programs. Germany actually began this about a decade ago. So reducing spending during a recession right now appears to be making things worse. It's making things worse in terms of economic indicators, but the European man on the street is suffering both from recessionary economic climate and entitlement cutbacks. So the European, you know, the man in the street in Europe is feeling doubly kind of set upon. And as will often happen in a democracy or in democracies, the European man on the street is taking out his or her displeasure at the ballot box. Six European governments have been replaced, for the most part, with more left of center party coalitions than the governments they're replacing. These new governments, and it's important to point out that parliamentary democracies have fewer checks and balances than we do. When a government changes in Europe, the whole government changes, and they can, by definition, implement their new policies. So these new governments can be expected to reset the balance toward more stimulative government actions. The major European economies can easily absorb this extra debt, I think. Overall, European debt to GDP is about 64%. It's much lower than ours. And so there is room, at least in the economies of Europe that are not in, in big trouble, to absorb that kind of debt. And that's what we're going to see happening with these new left of center coalitions. In the medium term, say, you know, 2 to 8 years, this is going to mean very little for investors. I know that there's been some immediate concern that investors will pull their money out of European markets. But let's take a look at history as an example. The last socialist president of France was François Mitterrand, and he came to power in 1981. And he actually brought the French Communist Party into his coalition. Mitterrand was president for 14 years until 1995. During that time, the French stock market rose. It rose 750%, actually beating the U.S. market by a 20% margin. The French economy pretty much tracked the rest of the world, weak in the early 80s and growing stronger late in the decade, about the same as how the U.S. economy fared during the Reagan years. So even though we had what was then a much more socialist regime than what has moved into power over the weekend in France, stock markets did pretty well. In fact, they did just about as well as the rest of the markets around the world. It did help, of course, that Mitterrand brought in a more centrist prime minister. His name was Jacques Chirac. And that's my point. Solutions to difficult economic problems normally emerge from the center. And, you know, What we're seeing now in Europe, with all the discontent in some ways on the street, is we have fringe elements, nationalistic parties, that are challenging the center left and right coalitions. They're helping overthrow those coalitions, though right now they're not moving into power. But it's happening in France, it's happening in Britain, it's happening in Belgium. the Netherlands, and Greece and Spain. And it's not very different in tone and often not very different in substance from the radical rhetoric that we're hearing here in the U.S. And that's where I believe Americans need to pay close attention. In Europe, without the checks and balances that keep our government in the mainstream, the Europeans could fall prey to radical and dangerous isolationist and even xenophobic coalitions. What that means is that you could have people coming into power in Europe who would not be mainstream. They would not be center-left or center-right. They would be on the extremes. You know, we've seen that before in Europe, and it's, well, quite frankly, it's scary as hell. That's why I think we Americans need to be very, very concerned about what's going on around the pond. I'd like to hear if you have concerns or comments about what I've just said, because it puts Europe, I think, in a somewhat different perspective in that we view the European economy as being very different from ours. It really isn't very different from ours. The number here, 790-2040. Give me a call and let me know what you think. I mean, I hear people say all the time, we don't want to be like Europe. We don't want to be socialist. We don't want to be like Greece. Well, there's very little chance we could ever be like Greece. First of all, we have a 250-year-old democracy, and the Greeks have a 20-year-old democracy. Secondly, our economies are very, very different. But what I think the fear that is being expressed when people say that is that we will get into such a heavy debt situation, sovereign debt, that the country will have overspent its means so badly that we will not have a good way to pay off that debt, either without creating massive inflation or creating other economic dislocations that could, in fact, be very hard on the economy in coming years. Are we mortgaging our future in order to pay for current programs or to pay for current recovery? And that's it's a real concern, but it's more of a concern in a weak economy like that of Greece, perhaps Portugal, and maybe Spain, than it is in a country like the U.S. What we've seen specifically, for instance, in Great Britain, is that austerity measures have thrown those economies back into a double-dip recession. And that kind of austerity, during a time when an economy is fragile, we have some historical examples that say, well, you know, if you bite the bullet now and do a lot of belt tightening now, that will work well for the future. So now is the time to take the pain and not lay it off on our kids. On the other hand, at some point, you have to get the economy out of recession. And you have to do that through stimulus. So what we're seeing in Britain over the past weekend's elections, they didn't have national elections, but they had local elections. And so the Conservative Party candidates in local elections got trounced on, quite frankly. And what we can see and probably forecast with some certainty is that the Prime Minister Cameron and the current Conservative government may look very closely at modifying some of those five-year plans to include some more stimulus. We're certainly going to see more stimulus from the French. We're going to see higher taxes on the rich. It doesn't plug the gap. It, you know, all it does is make people feel a little bit better that the, you know, the rich are paying more of their fair share. Don't know what a fair share is. There's no historical precedent to say, well, it ought to be 60% of the tax burden or 70% of the tax burden or 30% of the tax burden. History doesn't give us very good guidelines in that. But what we do know is that We've had certain times when tax policy has been more successful than at others. I think we can safely say that the tax policies of the past 10 years have not been successful in this country, and the tax policies from 1993 to 2000 were successful. Were they the only things that caused the success? Probably not. But we can look at some historical precedents. And those are the things that when I talk to my clients about investing and we look at where the potential gains can be, we know that equity markets lead the economy. And so when we think economies are going into recession, there's some opportunity at that point to maybe invest in those economies. And I think now might be a good time to invest in some of the northern European economies. And it's possible to do that very very easily and still not get too deeply into what's going on company by company in those European economies. So I'm rambling a little bit. And the reason I'm rambling is that this is a difficult problem, and it's one that is very, very important, and it doesn't have a lot of very specific for sure answers. And anybody who tells you that those answers are for sure is probably not really stating the facts as they should be. Anyway, thanks for this opportunity to address this audience and to sit in for Bill Buckmaster. I'll be back next Tuesday, of course, with my normal segment on the Buckmaster Show. And for now, I'd like to wish Bill and Ann a happy 40th birthday, or a happy 40th anniversary.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
And back in the studio live, I need to remind all our listeners that support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoDusan.com. Thanks again for listening. Thanks for being a great audience. And we'll see you next week.
1030 KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, the voice.